May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I love the parables. On the face of it, the parables are nice and easy. They are stories that relate to everyday life. Pruning of trees, the sowing of crops, and maybe the things that are more relevant to us, the mishaps that happen to people, the things that get lost, and yes, even the people that get lost. Parables, on the face of it, make it seem so straightforward. But hang on a minute, is that entirely true? Are parables really that easy? In the middle of the famous parable of the sower, Jesus actually admits that parables are not teaching aids. Quite the opposite. When he was alone with the disciples, he said, "To you, disciples, it has been given the secret of the mystery of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything comes in parables, so that however hard they look, they won't perceive. However hard they listen, they won't understand. Those who do not turn again to be forgiven." And it's the same here. At the end of today's gospel we heard just now, "With many such parables he spoke the word to the people, insofar as they were able to understand it. He didn't speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples." So, what did Jesus use parables for? Well, he certainly used parables to get people's attention. But if he didn't use parables to make the word or the gospel easy for people, and he had to explain them to his disciples, what good are they? Well, I fear the truth remains that Jesus used parables to grab people's attention, but he really used them to make people think. Jesus is the Word of God. He showed people God in his life, his actions, his teaching, and his prayers. St. Paul once called Jesus the icon of the invisible God. We all know what icons are from our laptops. An icon is a little visible symbol on the computer screen, and you click on it to make something happen. It is the visible sign that there is something waiting invisibly in the background for you to find. But until you hover the little arrow over the icon and click on it, you don't discover exactly what it is. Jesus is the icon of the invisible God. There he is, a visible sign in history, waiting for us to click on him, find out what he can do. You know from your computer that some icons are more good for you than others. As many a parent knows, clicking an icon on a computer game can be expensive because what's hidden is an agreement to buy something expensive that you don't want, like extra levels to the game that you have to pay for. Other icons are real gifts of grace that reveal to you hidden things that can make life easier, or remove from your computer unwanted bugs, threats, or evil viruses. The art of mindfulness makes you wary about what to click on. So back to our gospel. What do you get if you click on Jesus and on these parables? I don't believe Jesus is being obstructive in using parables to hide the truth from people. I think he is trying very often to jolt people out of just accepting their traditional beliefs without thinking about them. For such frozen people, it was as if God had spoken to Moses and the prophets, and that was it. All written down in neat handwriting on scrolls in the ark in the synagogue finished. But reality is not like that. God did not write a book and then rest on his laurels. I believe that God is always trying to be in touch with us. He wants to choose us and call us. Therefore, he tries to break through into our consciousness. But the one thing he won't do is to break through the last barrier and shatter our integrity. God comes from all eternity, from what looks to us like an infinite distance, and he comes to us. Politely, he knocks on the door. We just have to open the door, that last barrier, and let him in. God approaches us in so many different ways, depending on just what constitutes that final barrier for us. Somehow, by one means or another, he wants to distract us from our familiar tasks and our everyday routines. God is very disruptive of what is familiar to us, and he heartily dislikes any mindless repetition which engages us and encourages us to live lives which are more like sleepwalking. God dislikes our complacency and any self-centeredness we might have. And what is God's motive in being so disruptive of our little lives? Well, he only wants to come in to give us a gift. Like the three wise men who broke into the privacy of the stable to offer gifts to the infant Christ, which were symbols of his mission and his future, so God wants to break into the sleepy darkness of our lives to wake us up, to give us the power of the Holy Spirit, to make something of ourselves and our lives, to do what God needs us to do. But what does God want us to do? Each of us is different and has a different target. Maybe it is something big and adventurous. Maybe, on the other hand, it is something small but creative and worthwhile. Maybe it is our place to sit quietly and listen. Maybe even more, it is to learn how to be still in God's presence. And by that, to question the lives of all those who are running around in ever-decreasing circles, wearing themselves and everyone else out by their feverish efforts. Whatever it is that God wants us to do as individuals, we will discover that he has provided us with whatever we need to do it. Jesus reminds us in the parable of the mustard seed not to deny our own abilities. When we feel we are not up to what God is asking of us, when we feel too inadequate to be useful, this parable reminds us that it is no shame to be small. It encourages us to grow by making space and silence enough in our lives for him to speak to us. If we give God that space, we will then be able to listen to what he is saying as he speaks deeply within us, to pay attention to it, and to act in accordance with God's wishes. He will not leave us unprepared or unable to fulfill the tasks of his kingdom. As he spoke of old to David, the shepherd boy who became a king, as he spoke through the writer of the Psalms and in the words of the prophets, as he spoke in the preaching of the apostles and the evangelists, and especially as he was present to us in the person, the words, and the deeds of our Lord, so he can speak to us in the silence of our hearts. He can give us the grace to be his people and to do his will. He can give us grace to receive the gifts he now offers us, so that we may serve him in love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.